The Gemara says that the first 6 days after Shavuos, he can still bring Tashlumin. Whoever didn't bring Oilos Riya on Shavuos can bring. On Pesach and on Sukkot, of course, this Tashlumin, it's still Pesach, till the end of Pesach. And Sukkot is still Sukkot. The Chiddush is by Shavuos, there's Tashlumin by Shavuos, even though the 6 days after Shavuos, it's not Shavuos. So the Gemara Chagiga says, no, that it is Shavuos. That we count Sfiras Omer, we count days and we count weeks. Mitzvah Mem Niyomi, Mitzvah Mem Nishavuoi. And the Gemara seems to say that's how the Or Sameach interprets the Gemara, but it's really Poshup Shat and Gemara, even without the Or Sameach. Then when you count the Sfira, you Koveya Shavuos. So by counting days, you Koveya Shavuos as a Yontav of a day. By counting weeks, you Koveya Shavuos as a Yontav of a week. Where is Shavuos a Yontav of a week? It's a Yontav of a day. With respect to Yisim Malach and with respect to Hakrovas HaMusofim. Where is it a Yantav of a week? So that's what the Gemara says. It's a Yantav of a week, then you get Tashlumin. That you, if you didn't bring the Oilos Riya on Shavuos, on Yantav, you can bring it the next 6 days. But that's a Shalom. What about this Man Hazeh? These 6 days. So by the Hasidim, they don't say Tachna. By the Misnagna, they do say Tachna. So the Hasidim are assuming that it's even Zman of Tashlumin is Man Hazeh. So that's very questionable whether that's so. The Gemara has a discussion whether the way we read the Gemara in Menachos on Daf Samavav, the Gemara has a machlokes samaroim regarding Sfiras Omer, whether it's deraisa derabon. Tosfos paskens, the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosfos, that Sfiras Omer bizman hazeh is only derabonon, because you didn't bring the Minchas Omer. Sfiras Omer is only deraisa bizman shebeis hamikdash hayikayim. When you brought the Minchas Omer the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, then Sfiras Omer is deraisa. But Bizman Hazeh, there's no Mincha Saima, so it's only the Rabbanon. And Tosfos said that's why the meaning is that we say, Rachman Yachsalonu, Avodis Beis HaMikdash L'mekayma. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring back the Beis HaMikdash, and we should be able to have Sfira Saima Derais, and it should become back again Adin Derais. So the Tosfos Psak is the Sfira Saima Bizman Hazeh, the Rabbanon. And the Ramam and the Goyinim understood the Gemara that the Maskana, the Gemara backs out. The Gemara's conclusion is, and Menachos Amavav, that Sfira Saima Bizman Hazeh is deraisa. So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim has a compromise sheet. The Rabbeinu Yeruchim is the Talmud of the Rosh. So in his Sefer, he read the Gemara differently, totally differently. He had a different gears in the Gemara than Menachos Amavav. He read the Gemara as saying that Sfira Sayamim is deraisa and Sfira Sashavuas is derabbanan. Where does that come from? From outer space. Where does it say the Hezber is? Shavuos is a yantav of a day and a yantav of a week. So yantav of a day bin a ger to yisim aloha. So that's no ger bizman hazeh. It's a yantav of 1 day for musafim. They don't bring musafim today. Okay. It's only a yantav of a week bin a ger to tashlumin. Whoever didn't bring the oilos riya on Shavuos can bring the next 6 days. So bizman hazeh, there's no beis hamikdash. There is no oilos riya. So there is no tashlumin. So the whole idea that sfiras hashavua, count the week, is the raisa in order to be kaveh yantav Shavuos as a yantav of a week. So Rabbeinu Yeruchim read in the Gemara that doesn't apply bizman hazeh. The sphere of the days is the raisa. The sphere of the weeks is only the rabbanim. It's not the raisa because we're not being kaveh Shavuos as a yantav of a whole week. So that's the shaila, whether this week is really the week of tashlumin or not. Does it really make sense not to say tachnun during this week? Anyway, so I'm going to do tashlumin for Parshas Bamidbar. I wanted to give a shiur on Bamidbar last week and it didn't turn out. So I'll speak a little bit about Bamidbar today, but then tomorrow I'll speak a little bit about Parshas Nasai. Why did we read Bamidbar the Shabbos immediately before Shavuos? So the Gemara says that's Takanas Ezra. The Gemara says in Baba Kama and the Perek Meruba that Ezra HaSofer made 10 Takanas. So one of the 10 Takanas of Ezra was we should lay in the Toichacha in Bechukosai before Shavuos and the Toichacha in Kisavoy before Rosh Hashanah. What's the idea? The Toichacha has a lot of brachas, the klolos, has a lot of klolos. So the Gemara has a lashon, Tich l'shana b'kil l'seha, Toch l'shana b'choseha. The old year should end with all the curses, finished, and the new year should begin on a happy note. So the Gemara says Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, Tich l'shana b'kil l'seha. How is Shavuos Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara says, because Ba'bo prokem oilam nidon, Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says in the first parak, Kadosh Baruch Hu judges the whole world when they get to different issues on different times. On Shavuos, the whole world is nidan aperis or ilon, so it's also a Rosh Hashanah. It's also a Rosh Hashanah. So that was Takanas Ezra. So Tosfos points out, Tosfos Baba Basra points out, our practice is we don't lay in Bechukosai the Shabbos immediately preceding Shavuos, and we nor do we lay in Kisavah the Shabbos immediately preceding Rosh Hashanah. We want to move the curses a week in advance. So we have it next to the last Shabbos in the year. The penultimate Shabbos in the year, we lay in B'chukosai the second Shabbos before Shavuos, and we lay in Kisavah the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. That's how Taisa explains. Taisa quotes, first they quote others who made Rabbin, and Nissim made a different suggestion, that the Teuchecha in Kisavah is not finished until you're laying Nitzavim. Hatam Nitzavim Yom Kuchim Lo B'chav B'Risa Hashem Al-Kecha Ba'al-Osai, until you're laying into halfway into Nitzavim. That's the Gemara of the Teuchecha in Kisavah. So Taisa says, so why do we lay in B'chukosai the second Shabbos before? We should lay B'midbar is the Gemara of the Teuchecha B'chukosai. B'midbar has no Hemshech with B'chukosai. The Taisa says that Rabbi Nissen Goyen is wrong, that the reason why we lay in Kisavoy the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah is not because the brachas of Klolos are not completed till you lay in Nitzavim. No, you want to finish the Klolos, Tichla Shana Kiloseh, the second Shabbos before the end of the year, not the very last Shabbos. So that's the same with B'chukosai. The Achreinim are bothered with the Kasha and the Gemara. Megillah records that there were two practices, Bizmana Gemara, about Kriyas HaTorah, whether it's a three-year cycle or a one-year cycle. So that's one of the Chilufim in Hagim Shebein B'nei Eretz Yisrael B'nei B'nei Bovel. There's a one-page, the Chido has a little Sefer Shem HaGdolim, where he lists off all the different, he was a Meshulah for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. He traveled all over Europe to raise money for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. Then the last 20, 30 years of his life, he lived in Italy, and he raised money for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And he died and he was buried in Italy, and then 50 years ago they moved his body to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in the 1700s. So the Chido had this bug in his head. Whenever he went to a new city, he always went to the royal library to see what Kisveya they had, and whenever they had a Me'iri or a Psarishan that wasn't available anywhere else, so he would read through the whole thing and copy down. Whenever he found the Chiddush, he would copy down. So he was the one, he wrote the Birkei Yosef, he wrote over 80 Svarim, I think. He wrote many Svarim, and in many of his Svarim, he quotes from all of these Kisveyad that he saw all over the world. So the Chidor has alphabetically arranged the name of all of the Mechabrim, Rishonim, Acharonim, who wrote Svarim, in brief, very brief biography about them. That's called Shem HaGdolim. And the other half of the Sefer of Shem HaGdolim, he has alphabetically arranged the names of the Svarim that they wrote in a brief description when they were printed, different editions. He was a bibliograph. He's very much into that. So in that Sefer, Shem HaGdolim, he printed the entire Chilufim Haragim Shebein B'nei Eretz Yisrael B'nei B'nei B'nei. The whole thing appears in the Yamshal Shloima, I think in Chulin. The whole thing is one page. Chilufim Haragim Shebein B'nei Eretz Yisrael B'nei B'nei B'nei. So this is one of them, whether you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, the Gemara records it, whether you finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah in a one-year cycle or your three-year cycle. So in Eretz Yisrael, the minig was that they would only have Simchas Torah once every 3 years. And in Bavel, that's our minig, we have Simchas Torah every year. We finish the whole Chamishuchim Shetor every year. You have they do three-year cycle. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out jokingly that they would divide Bereshis into three parts. The first Shabbos, they would lay in the first third. Next Shabbos, they would lay in the second third. The third Shabbos, they would lay in the third third. And every week they had a different Haftarah, so that's why you have to have three Haftarahs for Bereshis, because in Eretz they had three different weeks. They lay in the first third with Haftarah, the middle third, and the last third. And then the fourth week they would lay in the first third in Noyach, the fifth week they would lay in the second third in Noyach, and the sixth week they would lay in the third third in Noyach. And each Noyach had to have three Haftarahs. That's why we have in Chumash a lot of times more than one Haftarah for any given parsha. Rav Soloveitchik said jokingly that there are still conservative synagogues where they claim that they're following the practice of Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So 1 year, they're laying the first third, when it's Parshas Bereshis, for everybody, so they're laying the first third in Bereshis. The next week, they're laying the first third in Noyach. The next week, they're laying the first third in Lech Lecha. The second year, they're laying the second third in Bereshis. And then the second week, Parshas Noyach, everybody's laying, not they're laying the second third in Noyach. So he said, he was laughing his head off. He said, that's ridiculous. There never was such a practice. There's no continuation over there. What do you mean, the first third and the second third? So there was such a practice in Eretz Yisrael that it took 3 years till they finished the whole Chamishuchim Shetor. So the Achreidim are bothered with Akasha that this Takanas Ezra seems to be based on the assumption that you finish the whole Torah in 1 year. So B'chukosai turns out to be either the Shabbos immediately before Shavuos or the second Shabbos immediately before Shavuos. But if you have a 3-year cycle, you're not going to be laying B'chukosai before Shavuos. Who knows where it's going to be? It's going to be in the middle of the summer, middle of the winter. It's not necessarily going to be once in 500 years. It may be the Shabbos before Shavuos. It's not going to turn out like that. So how does Takanas Ezra fit in if you have the practice of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael? So the Achreinim are bothered with this kashya. You look on the bottom of the Masecha Sofrim, in the back of a normal Gemara, Avodah Zarah, this is Ayyubamas. In the back of the normal Avodah Zarah, so they have the whole Masecha Sofrim. Masecha Sofrim is written by the Goinim, it's not by the Tanoim. It's a Likot Abraisis, and then they add it on more. And then on the bottom of the page, they have somebody, Yoshua, I forgot already, who one of the Achreinim. Then other Achreinim also, they all ask this kashya, and Kevemden ask this kashya. So they all give the same answer, that the Kriya of the Teuchecha, the Brochus HaKlolos, was a Takana Sezer, even if you have a 3-year cycle. It's like Parsha Zohar or Parsha Spora. You have to take out 2 Sifrei Torah. We have a 1-year cycle, so we kill 2 birds with 1 stone. So when we lay in B'chokosai, the second Shabbos before, Ma'midbar, the Shabbos immediately before Shavuos, so we yoytze Takana Sezer, and we yoytze the Parsha HaShavua. But if you have a 3-year cycle, so then you have to take out 2 Sefer Torah. And a separate Sefer Torah has a separate Kriyas HaTorah for the Brachas HaKlolos. And they explain, because of that, it's a separate Takana Kriyas HaTorah. They explain other things also. That seems to be strange in the Gemara. It doesn't jive. So they say, no, it's a separate din, separate Takana Kriyas HaTorah. It's a separate din. It's not identical with the... It's not just how to arrange the Parshas HaShavu. So that's number one. The fact that we learn Parshas Bamidbar, the Shabbos before Shavuos, is, we assume, is Takanas Ezra, to lain B'chukosai, the second Shabbos before. The pasuk, the Chumash begins, Chumash b'midbar, v'dabar shama Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'ol moed, leimar. So the Apikursim claim that the Chumash is a composite of different texts that were written at different times. So the Chazon Ish says, of course it's a composite. All the texts were dictated word for word, letter for letter, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the 3 different texts. That's what it says in the first parak in Maseches Chagiga. The Gemara has a whole daf Gemara. Every Tana in the world is involved in this machlokes. How do you understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated 3 times? Sometimes HaVadah B'Shalom Moshe B'Har Sinai Lema. That's one text. Sometimes HaVadah B'Shalom Moshe Me'ol Moed Lema, during the course of the 40 years in the Midbar. Then it's a V'dav Shalom Moshe Me'aris Mayav Leimar in Chumash Devarim. So the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter, at 3 different times. So that's a question, and each time differently. So the Chumash, then after the 40 years are up, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, with respect to the mitzvah of tzitzis, use text A. With respect to the mitzvah of kashrus, use text B. With respect to the mitzvah of Shabbos, use text C. So the Chumash is a composite of different texts. Every time it says, this is text A, Dabar Shalom Moshe B'Har Sinai. This is text B, Be'ol Moed, and that's text C, Be'aris Moed. So the shot, why did the Rabbanu Shel Olam give the Torah, why did he dictate with 3 different versions? So that's a machlekes ha-tanoim. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and more tanoim, more, a lot of tanoim. Misham and Bisil, and Gemara has every tana. Gemara has every tana, with slight nafkeminas halacha l'maisa. So Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, simple. If the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, the dinim and harsinai, he told them all the dinim from A to Z, so then there would be no need for a second text. So in those mitzvahs that are harsinai, they were given in their entirety, klal the same prat, the same diktu came, everything was given. So you use text A, there never was a second version. But there were a lot of mitzvahs where the Baruch Shalom and harsinai gave Moshe Rabbeinu a sketchy outline, and he didn't give him all the details. So the second time around, in the course of the 40 years in Oel Moed, course of the 40 years of traveling in Midrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu a second text which was more complete, which had more details. So then you got to use text B. And then there were certain mitzvahs where even the first and the second time around, they were only given in outline form. And the third time, in Aris Maya, before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, then it was given, klal the same part, the same dictu came, then it was given with all the details. So then, of course, the Rebbe Shalom is going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, when you put together the different things, so use text C, because text C is the only one that has the full, all the details of the halacha. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and half of the Tanaim hold like that. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees. That's the famous Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Behar. Rashi writes, Mayin Shmita Eitzel HaSina El Eloi Malach, just like the dinim of Shmita were given, Kolal Hasem Prat, the same dictu came, everything was given from A to Z at Har Sinai, so too all of the Taryag Mitzvahs, text A, contained everything. There was no such thing, Rabbi Akiva claims, there was no such thing that the mitzvah was given partially at Har Sinai, and then it was given with more details. When the mitzvah was given, Melech HaTchila was given in its entirety. So then you don't understand, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give text B, and why was there text C? So the Gemara leaves you hanging. The Gemara doesn't explain why. We don't know why, the Chazon Ish says. We don't know why. If you would have held like Rabbi Shmuel, if you held like Rabbi Shmuel, then you understand it. A lot of mitzvahs were given in an incomplete form in the first time around. So then there was a need for text B. And then a lot of mitzvahs, even after the second dictation, text B, it was still in an incomplete form. So then the Baruch Hu had to give text C. But if you all like Rabbi Akiva, that A to Z, every called the same part, the same dicta came, everything was given the first time. So then everything was given the second time, why in another text, and everything was given the third time. Three different versions of exactly the same thing that comes down to the same thing, Allah Almighty. So why did Rabbi Shalom give a different nusach? And why did he decide to choose sometimes A, sometimes B, sometimes C? So the Chazon Ish says that he leaves you hanging. The Gemara leaves you hanging. The Gemara doesn't give an explanation. Sisrei Torah. There is a famous comment that the Medrash has on the opening pasuk in Bamidbar. Why was the Torah given in the Midbar? Wouldn't it make more sense that the Torah should be given, Maamar HaSinai should take place in Eretz Yisrael, in a Makom Kodesh that has Kedusha Sa'aretz? Why in Midbar Sinai, in Chutz La'aretz? So the Medrash has different suggestions. So one of the suggestions the Medrash Rabba has on the opening pasuk in Bamidbar is, if the Torah would have been given in Eretz Yisrael is going to be Nischalka L'Shvatim. So the Torah would have been given in Eretz Yisrael on top of some mountain or another. So that Shevet, in whose Chelek the Torah was given, would probably claim later on, we're the final Balabatim. We have the final say, I'm Psak Halacha, because the Torah was given in our Chelek. And they would balabatava, they would insist that they should be the poskim. They have the right. They have the exclusive right to poskim. So that's why the Torah had to be given davkin and mokum in the midbar mokum hefker. So no one is more of a balabas than anybody else. So the Netziv has a whole essay about this in his commentary on the Torah. So he says there is a Gemara in Nedorim daf lamed ches, but the Gemara has a diuk from the loshon haposik psal lecho shnei luchos avanim. That the Rabbeinu Shel Olam taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, and he said it was really only going to be for Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't have to teach it over to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was a tovayin; he was very kind-hearted, and out of the kindness, out of the goodness of his heart, he told the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara said, "What are you talking about?" It says, "Daber Bnei Yisrael v'mat alein." Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't supposed to keep it a secret; he was supposed to not only share it; he was mechuyav to teach Torah. To all the Bnei Yisrael, they should know the dinim. What are you talking about? Shalchotehe, it's a private, you have a right to keep it. Gemara says, no, we're talking about pilpulo shel Torah. The way to figure out how to paskan a halacha, how to use the midah shel Torah and the spam, how to read in between the lines, and figure out all the details of the halacha, how to compare one mitzvah with the other mitzvah, mamatzinu, tzarashova, and so on, all these midah shel Torah and dreshes. Initially, this was given, Pilpul Shel Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Ulezaroi. He has the right to keep it in his family. They'll be the only ones who are Paskin Shailas. But he was a Tovayan, and he gave it over to Bnei Yisrael. So the Netziv wants to know, when exactly did he give it over to Bnei Yisrael? Where does it say in the Chumash that he gave it over? So he thinks that in the beginning of Chumash Devarim, that's at the very end of his life, at the very end, he's about to die. It's on Rosh Chodesh, what is it? The very end. What's before Adar? Moshe Rabbeinu dies in Zainot, so it's a month before. Shvat. Rosh Chodesh Shvat. A month before he's about to die. And it says he's giving over. Hoyel Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Zos Leimar. He's given over Pilpulo Shel Torah here. So the Netziv is bothered with the question, Where is he giving over? He's giving it over in Eber HaYarden, after it was already divided between Reuven and God, Chatzishevet HaManasseh. So why wasn't he concerned about this chashash that Rebbeinu Shlom didn't want to give the Torah in Eretz Yisrael? Because the Shevet, in whose Nachla it's going to turn out, Har Sinai is going to be in that Shevet, so they'll claim that they have the final say. So why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu concerned? He's giving over Pulpula Shel Torah. He's giving over somewhere, either Reuven God, the Chatzishevet Shevet HaManasseh. So that Shevet is going to say that we're the Balabatim over Pulpula Shel Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over in our Shevet. So he has a whole fantastic... The Netziv was a fantastic Baki. They write that people used to send them letters, Rabbanim and scholars, used to send them letters and ask him, are there any Marim comes on this and this? He would always rattle off. He always shakes out of his sleeve, Toseftas and Yerushalmis and Midrashim. It's phenomenal. So a lot of times he'll put together different Midrashim and give you a whole fantastic interpretation on a Pasuk, to reconstruct how the Chazal understood an additional level of interpretation. So he puts together Midrashim that after the Chet, after the Benois Moyav, God Benay sought to sin. So I forgot already which Shevet it was. Huh? So that, I forgot. So that Shevet didn't want to own that area. So they were mafka that area. And then another Shevet grabbed it up. He quotes Midrashim like that, quotes from the Sifrei, later on Zayis HaBrocha. So he says, it was during that period that it was Hefker, when the first Shevet ran away and they were Mafka that area. And the second Shevet didn't yet have the Chochman to grab it. So that area was Hefker. No one wanted it. So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Torah. Taka, because of this opening comment in Bamidbar, that the Midrashim said the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't want to give the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, because he was afraid that that Shevet would claim that they're the Balabat. So here Moshe Rabbeinu did the same by Pilpul Shel Torah. He says he gave up with Pilpul Shel Torah in an area which didn't belong. Taka, it was in Eber HaYarden after Chaluka, but that area had been given up as Hefker by the Shevet, by the original Shevet, and the new Shevet didn't grab it yet. One of the major themes in Parshas Bamidbar is the theme of Bechiras HaLevim. The Levim were chosen, the Sunim, Sunim Heman, Be'ez B'nei Yisrael. They're given over to assist the Kohanim in Avodas HaMikdosh, and they have to do Shmira. They have to be palace guards in the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Meshech Chochma has a very interesting comment, which is a fantastic Chiddush. He points out the Gemara has a din that tefillin have kedusha, and a tefillin zekel also has kedusha, has the status tashmishi kedusha. So let's say you have an old worn out cloth tefillin zekel, you don't want to continue to use it anymore, it's rubbed out. So you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage, you have to put it in the shemes, even though it has no psukim written on it, just has tefillin on it, still has the status of kedusha. What if you put your tefillin zekel inside the talah zekel? So the talah zekel also becomes a tashmishi kedusha. So the answer is no. Talis is tashmishi mitzvah. Talis is not tashmishi kedusha. So the talis itself, when it's old and worn out, nobody wants it, you throw it in the garbage. You don't have to put a talis in the shemes. You have to rip off the tzitzis either. You throw the whole thing in the garbage. You put it in a bag and you throw it in the garbage. So the talis zekel, well, let's say you have a tefillin zekel and then you have a plastic cover on top of the tefillin zekel. So the plastic rips and you want to get a new one. So you don't have to put that plastic in the shemes. The Gemara says that's tashmish to tashmish. That's twice removed from the kedusha. The tefillin has the status of kedusha. The tefillin zekel has the status of tashmishi kedusha, and the plastic bag around it, or the talis zekel around it, that's twice removed. So that's tashmish to tashmish. The Gemara said the same about an aron kodesh. If you have a sefer Torah, has kedusha, you keep the sefer Torah in an aron kodesh, so the wooden aron kodesh has the status of tashmishi kedusha. So if you want to buy a new aron kodesh, you're not allowed to throw out the old one. You have to put it in shemus. You have to, minig always used to be, they would take it apart and leave it in the basement of the shul. They wouldn't throw it out. Some places they would burn it. It's a question if you're allowed to burn it. Whole discussion at Paskim. Because usually there's a din lo sasin ken lo shem elokechem. You're not allowed to destroy tashmishi kedusha. So why there was such a practice? They would burn an old aron kodesh. So the achrayim discuss whether it's proper or not. So if you have a paroiches, the paroiches is twice removed from the sefer Torah. The Aron Kodesh is Mishamish the Sefer Torah. The Parechis covers over the Aron Kodesh, and that's like the Tashmish the Tashmish, twice removed from the thing itself. The Gemara says that Bizman the Gemara, there was a common practice that when they would lay in Kriya Satera, they wouldn't have a mappa on the Shulchan. It was common they would take down the Parechas and put it to serve as a mappa on the Shulchan. So that's why Bizman the Gemara, the Parechas had the status of Tashmishi Kedusha, because they would put the Sefer Torah directly on top of it, rather than put the Sefer Torah on the table, but put it on top of the Parechas. But Bizman Azef, we don't have that practice. Bizman Azef, there's no mappa on the Shulchan, someone puts his talis down, and the talis does not become Tashmishi Kedusha because he didn't intend that it should be Kavua. He only intended it Aroi, temporarily. He didn't intend Kavua, this talis should always serve to be Mishamish to Sefer Torah. So Bizman Azef, the Parechas no longer has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha. Today it's only a Tashmish to Tashmish. It's twice removed from the Sefer Torah.
The cloth that's on top of the
bima. The cloth that's there, kavua, you put the Sefer Torah. That's Tashmishi Kedusha because you put the Sefer Torah directly on top of it.
So one shouldn't put something else besides the Sefer Torah on top of it?
We mean that wooden table. The wooden table has a status. Yeah, the wooden table has a status of Tashmishi Kedusha. You don't say the wooden table is twice removed. The cloth doesn't hold up the Sefer Torah. The table holds it up. So the table, the Shulchan, really has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha. Shouldn't be allowed to put a sitter on. Shouldn't be allowed to lean on it. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Achrayim who are makel on the sitter and on the leaning. They say, Leid Bezna Masnale. When we designated it as a Shulchan, we all knew in advance that people are probably going to put Sidurim on. So we had in mind Melachatchila that it shouldn't become Kodesh B'Kedushas Tashmishi Kedusha. It's a difficult word. Really, more correct is not to put Sidurim on the Shulchan where you're going to lay.
When someone does a psicha, because it's sitter in the Aron,
what do you know? Also very questionable. It's also probably not right. Yeah. Because the Aron Kodesh is miyuchad for Sifrei Torah, so you shouldn't put a sitter.
Sometimes they put the crown for that stays on top of the...
Okay. That's at least Tashmishi Kedusha. The crown is Tashmishi Kedusha. See, because of this shinoi, that Bizman HaGemara, the Parechas used to be used as a map of Kavua on the Shulchan. So Bizman HaGemara, the Gemara said, Megillah, Parechas was a Tashmish Kedusha. But Bizman HaZeh, it's a Tashmish to Tashmish. So that's why the meaning in Europe was, in many places, that they would use the Parechas for a chuppah. They would have four metal rings in the four corners of the Parechas. And when someone got married, they would use that as a chuppah. So they have others taina, the Chuvas Abach, others taina against it, that it's not right. That true, it's Tashmish, the Tashmish, it doesn't have the status of Kedusha Sefer Torah, it doesn't have the same status as an Aron Kodesh, but still it should have the status of Kedusha Sefer HaKnesses, because it's part of the makeup of a shul, the benches. Are you allowed to use the benches of the shul for a chuppah? It has a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So the Parechas should also have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So some Achrayim are unhappy about that. Recently, I forgot about someone from the Shir. Got married, so he says, the girl's father wanted to use the Parechas that was given to him in the middle of the war by the Ger Rebbe or something. They saved the Parechas, and he wanted to use it for the Chuppah. That was the meaning in Europe, to use a Parechas. And the cousin who was holding it didn't let him. He wouldn't give it to him. They sent him a copy of the Tshuva Sabach. Yeah, but the minig in many places in Eretz Yisrael and in Europe, minig was that they would use a parechas for a chuppah, and that's why many parechas have the four metal rings in the four corners that it should be able to serve as a chuppah, to put the poles up. And a lot of Achrayim disagree. They say the chuppah is supposed to constitute a Tzuras HaPesach, like for Shabbos, like for Erev. The chuppah is supposed to have four poles, going to be kana, bikana, 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 al gabeim, like when you make an Erev, so that area under the chuppah designates a separate room. So the chassan took the kala into a separate room that's called hachnasa l'rishusa. He took her into a separate room, the same nisun. So some achreinim taina, that it should be an Erev, you have to have kana, bikana, poles, bikana, al gabeim has to be on top. If you have a circle like that, so it's nothing is really on top, it's around it. If you make an Erev and you tie the string around the top and you tie it around the other one, so Gemara says it's no good. So the Shulchan Aruch is no good. It has to be Daf Kal Gabein, because that's the way you construct the frame of a door. You always have Kana Mikam, Kana Mikam, Kana Gabein. So a lot of Achrayim disagreed. They said you have on the bottom of the page in Ebenezer, what's it called, Chochma Shlomo, I think, Rav Shlomo Kluger, has comments printed on the bottom of the page in the big edition of the Shulchan Aruch. So he tines that it's not right to have a circle. You have to have, you have to put the pole mamish under the chuppah, under the cloth itself. That's why you'll find a lot of all these to have in the museum. The YU Museum used to be right over here, and they moved it to Midtown. So when I was here, 1 year they had a display of different parechas from all over the world. So they had a lot of parechas in where they had a slit, a diagonal slit in all four corners. And the tour guide was explaining that that was to be yotzei that shita, that if you put it through the hole, put it through the circle, it's not good for an eruv. But if you put it through the slit over here, then you have the cloth going on top. One, then it's kana mikama, kana mikama, kana gabeim, then it's a legitimate tzuris apes.
Some
chuppahs
nowadays are hanging out from the ceiling.
No poles, yeah. That's. I remember once I went to a wedding many years ago, and they had a chuppah hanging down from the ceiling. So Rav Moshe Feinstein walked in, so he said, "Where is the chuppah?" So he said, "Right over there." He said, "Where?" Kept saying, "Where? There's no chuppah. There's no chuppah." So they had to stop the music, and they drove to a nearby shul, and they brought a chuppah from Rabbi Alban Marcus's shul in West Orange, and they came back. They had to delay the chuppah for 30 minutes till they brought a real chuppah, because they just had something suspended from the ceiling. That's the question: what's the chuppah supposed to be all about? The Some Achrayim assume that it's a tzuris haPesach, that it's hachnasa l'rishusa. Tzuris haPesach, so it has to be kana mikama, kana mikama, kana al gabeim. And if it's minatzad, if you have no poles, so there's nothing to talk about. And others hold that it's not really based on tzuris haPesach. It's not called hachnasa l'rishusa. The ikar is that it should be cloth, and the idea is for us to kanafecha ala masecha. That by some svardim and by yekis, they put a talus over the chasen and the kala. That's what it says in Megillas Rus. For us, the kanafecha ala masecha. That's the way you do nisuin. So even so, in recent years, you have to book a hall and book. You have to send out invitations in advance. So if you make arrangements in advance, a lot of times the kala will not be able to go to mikveh. Years ago, they didn't send out, they didn't pick a date months in advance. When the girl went to mikveh, so they notified everybody, the wedding is going to be in another 3 days. They told everybody, so whoever's going to come is going to come. Now people come from Australia, they come from New Zealand, they come from all over. You have to book a caterer. So you have to schedule everything in advance. So a lot of times you can't put the talus over the chasen kal. So you have a talus up on top that represents a faras the kanafech ala masechum. So then it has to be dafka cloth, and then you don't need any poles at all. If you hold that's what the idea is. And if you hold that it's a tzuris haPesach, then it doesn't have to be cloth. But you got to have poles.
Well, it has to be tzuris haPesach. I've been at weddings in Israel where they have guys holding the poles.
That's the way it always used to be. People used to, yeah.
It's not kibbutz.
That was always the minig. They had four people holding the poles. During my lifetime, that was the minig. When I was a little boy, that was one of the kibbutzim to hold the poles by the chuppah.
And what if your job is, like, they have four guys holding the actual cloth? Can a guy function as a part of, can a human being function as part of the Pesach? You just have people holding up the actual cloth.
To the pole.
Set aside the pole. Isn't that
awesome? Don't remember, it's a discussion in the Gemara, I think. Gotta take a look in the Gemara. Don't remember. Anyway, so the Or Sameach has in the Sefer Meshech Chochma on Parshas Bamidbar, he has this din that Tefillin Zechel has Kedusha, but the second cover on top of it, that Tashmish, the Tashmish, doesn't have Kedusha. So he wonders, where did the Tanoim find this in Chumash? Where did they discover this? So he thinks that it's rooted in this Parshas Bamidbar, that the Iker Kedusha is the Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim are makriv the Karbonis. So the Kohanim are considered Tashmishi Kedusha. They're once removed from the Karbonis. And the Levim are Nesunim, Nesunim, Heim Aloi. The Levim are Meshamish the Kohanim, who in turn are Meshamish the Karbonis. So the Levim don't have Kedusha. That's what he suggests. The Levim don't have Kedusha. So this is, it's a fantastic idea. And he says that's why Maaseh Rishon is Mutar L'Zarim and Mutar L'Tmeim. And true Megdol is also the Zayim and also the Tumim. Because the Levim don't have Kedusha, so the Maaseh Rishon that they get also doesn't have Kedusha. But the Kohanim do have Kedusha, because they're only once removed from the karbonis. So therefore, the maichel that they eat, the truma that they eat, also has kedusha. There's kedushas truma. This is a fantastic chiddush what he says, that there's no such thing as kedushas levim. There was a famous Hasidic rebbe, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchever, who was a mechutna of the Baal HaTanya, who wrote a sefer called kedushas levi. The assumption is that there is such a thing as kedushas levi. There are some mech denies the whole thing. No such thing. We usually assume there are issues in Shulchan Aruch and Yeriday, Chelek Aleph, certain issues in Gemaris. So we usually say that there are tzvei dinim. There's a din Shevet Levi and Kedushas Levi. There are people who are Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. According to the Ur Samech, it doesn't exist. The whole famous explanation falls apart. He claims no such thing as Kedushas Levi. But usually assume not like him. Okay. So he claims, based on the Parsha, that's what you see in the Parsha, that the Levim are Tashmish to Tashmish. Levim are Meshamish to Karim, who in turn are Meshamish to Karbonis, and the Iki Kedush is in the Karbonis, and it spills over to the Karim, but it does not spill over to the Levim. The Torah singles out one of the roles of the Levim, the Sunim, Mesunim, Hema. One of their functions is that they have to do Shomim Mishmeres Hamigdosh. They have to serve as palace guards around the Beis Hamikdash, and when the Rambam quotes, this is one of the 613 mitzvahs, that there should be palace gods around the Beis Hamikdash, and for what purpose? So the Rambam says, it's not so much that you're afraid people are going to walk off with the silver. That's one thing. You want to have a guard to make sure no one walks off with the furniture in the Beis Hamikdash. But he said, that's not the reason why. The reason for the mitzvah is, l'kovedu l'sefaris, that it's very covetic when you go to the Royal Palace in London, and you see the change of the guards in front of the palace, it's a beautiful sight to see. So this enhances the beauty of the Beis Hamikdash when you have the palace guards. So the Levim had that obligation to serve as palace guards, and the Mishnah in Tamid says that there were three locations where instead of having Levim, they had Kohanim, because B'chof Talad Mekom is Nikru Kohanim Levim. The Kohanim are also Levim, so they can also serve as palace guards. So they had different locations where they had guards. Three locations, the guard was a kohen instead of a levi.
Daily at night and day? Or?
It was only in the daytime, it wasn't at nighttime, yeah. The palace guards were only in the daytime. The Avnei Nezer was a chassidish rebbe, the Sochet Shavu rebbe, died over 100 years ago. So he has a tshuva halacha lemaisim. They asked him, if you assume that kitcha lo silava, makam ha-migdash still retains the kedusha, bizman hazeh, maybe we should organize that the Levim should stand guard over the Makam HaMikdash. If you hold like Kitchelos Ilova, he said, there's no Kedushas HaMikdash. But if you hold like Machlekes HaTanai, Machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid, the Rambam paskins that the Makam HaMikdash is Kitchelos Ilova, and the Ravid disagrees it does not have any Kedusha. So the Shaila is, if you hold like the Rambam, that the Makam HaMikdash still retains its Kedusha, Bizman HaZeh, maybe you should have palace guards fulfilling Levim, fulfilling the mitzvah of Shomim Mishmeres HaMikdash today. So he writes a Pashtus Svara. The Pashtus says that he's right. It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? The Beis HaMikdash is Bechor Bonoi. What are you going to have? There's a mask over there. And they have the goyim are playing cricket, whatever. They're playing ball and they have stores there. So how is it going to enhance the beauty of the Makam HaMikdash, of the palace, by having guards and changing the guards? It looked like a Chuchat Lula. That's what Avnei Nezer writes in his Truvas. In recent years, there was a great Ilui, Rav Chaim Zimmerman. He was a Levi. So he thought, he quotes Avnei Nezer, he wrote a whole Shtickel Torah. He was a very original thinker, wild a little bit. So he thought, we not like Avnei Nezer. We should organize all the Levim in the world, and we should take turns, make an awareness that the Levim have to do Shamir Mishmeres HaMikdash. But it never got off the ground. The whole thing never got off the ground. You have the pasuk in the parsha that says Hazor Hakorev Yumas. So I remember when I was a student in college, we were reading in a Jewish history course that there's a plaque when you go visit the Makam HaMikdash. There's a tour that L'chola days you're allowed to go on. You're not going on the Hazorah. So there's a big plaque over there that says in Greek. I don't read Greek, but they say that's what it says on the plaque, that non-Jews are not allowed to pass a certain point. Not allowed to go past a certain point. And if they do, they'll be put to death. And that was the practice. Bizman Baisheni, it's a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is in Kalim, the first parak in Kalim. It says, past a certain point, you don't let goyim go. And then the sign said that they would put them to death. So I remember one of the students asked the professor, why do they want to put them to death? Min HaTorah, a goy can walk wherever he wants. A goy is not mekabel tumah. A goy is not never tummy, a faker. A goy should be allowed to go wherever he wants. So all right, min derabbanan, they made a chumra, but you give, put a guy to death because of a chumra min derabbanan. Why? So the professor said, it's a pasuk in chumash, hazar hakarav yumas, a non-Jew who walks in is put to death. So it's only three mistakes the professor made. Hazar doesn't mean a non-Jew, it means a non-Kohen. Karav means of his makruv karbanis, and yumas means misavadei shamayim. Otherwise, the pshat is good. But only three mistakes. The Gemara says, Sorish Aleisov is going to make three mistakes, lasei lamai. So these were the three mistakes. The Gemara says, an additional level, Hazar HaKarav Yumas says a few times in Chumash. So once it means a non-Koyin, afilu David HaMelech, the Gemara has a lashon, afilu David Melech Yisrael. If he's makru karbanis, is misa b'dei shamayim. Zar Shishimish is misa b'dei shamayim. Another time it says, in today's Sedra, Hazar HaKarav Yumas, so that goes on Levim. The Levim were divided in Dirayamim. It says some families were Mishorim, playing music and singing, and some were Shoarim, locking the gates. Shar is a gate. Their job was to lock the gates and to open the gates. So the Gemara says, Mishorim Shashir, Chayiv Misa. If a Levi is from that family, and his role is he's supposed to sing music or play music, and instead he locks the gates, opens the gates, he's going to do an avoidus halevi, which he's not supposed to do. So that's also misa b'dei shamayim. I'm sure shashir chayim misa. The Sefer HaChinuch writes a chiddush on his own, that just like by avoidus halevim, m'shur shashir chayim misa, he thinks the same is true by the kohanim as well. That the kohanim had to divide up who's going to shecht mishoched, mi b'kabala sadam, mi molech sadam, mi zareka sadam, who does hepshit, who does nituach, they divided. So whichever koyin, they used to have a pious every day, so whichever koyin is going to do an avodah that's not his, is also chayim nisim. So the Brisker Rav writes in his Sefer HaChumash that he doesn't agree. He thinks that Sefer HaChinuch is dead wrong. He says when they had the pious to divide up who's going to do this, that was that they shouldn't kill each other. That was like a dini mamonis, a chalukas hashutfim, and dini mamonis, you have all these mitzvahs to do, all the hakrovas hakarbonis, so who's going to do what? So we make a friendly resolution to the chalukas hashut from over here. But if someone steals the other guy, say, he stole a mitzvah, the other guy was supposed to do the shechita or the kabbalah halach, and I stole it, but you're not chayim misa b'dei shamayim for that. Rav Zalula thinks that this din, m'shur shishir chayim misa, is only by the Levim. It's a special din by Levim that they were appointed. This family, this Levi is appointed to do this avodah's Levi, and that Levi is appointed to do that avodah. But by Kohanim, it's just plain dinim amenus. It's chus and dinim amenus.
Doesn't the Mishnah say that
yeah, they had a different arrangement. No, they always had an arrangement how to determine who's Zoicha. So the question is, once you determine who's Zoicha to do the particular avodah, what if a different Kohen does it? Rav Zalula said, so it's Gezel. It's not Misa B'dei Shamayim, it's Gezel. He thinks that this din is only Aloha by the Levim. It's not a din by Kohen. Not like the Sefer HaChinuch. Okay. Asara Zehuvim, if you steal a mitzvah. Steal a mitzvah from someone else. You got to pay Asara Zehuvim. That was later. A knas, yeah. A knas of the Tanoim, yeah. You have in the parsha that they were for the Golem when they were traveling in the Midbar. There was a special Hairoa Shoah how to travel. They had to travel in a specific way. This was, it's not a din Ladar, it's only a din Hairoa Shoah. That's a question of Hairoa Shoah of what? So Pashup Shat, you might think it's a Hairoa Shoah how to travel. As Manu said, there's no dinim how to travel. However you travel, by train, by boat, by plane, however you want to travel. You want to go the right lane, middle lane, the left lane, you want to go however you want. You want to go in front of them, however you want to go. And then there was a Hairoa Shoah how to travel. So the Gemara explains not true. This was a Hairoa Shoah of how to build the Mishkan. Because the destination where they were going to arrive, they're going to put together the Mishkan again. So the whole traveling was leading up to building the Mishkan. So the Gemara has nafkamina lahalacha on this. The Gemara says all of the lamites malachas on Shabbos are based on whatever was done in Asiyas HaMishkan. So the Eglei Tal is a safe and Hilchas Shabbos written by the Avdei Nezer, by the Sochan Shavar Rebbe. So in the Hagdamah to the Eglei Tal, he points out that there's a machlokes hagoyinim baharishenim. What are you learning out from which part of the Mishkan? From Hakamas HaMishkan, from the construction of the Mishkan. That's how we usually learn. And some of the goyim say, you even learn out from Hakrovas HaKarbonis. So we usually don't assume like that. You don't learn out from Hakrovas HaKarbonis. You only learn out Hachtahavi Mimishkan Hashiva Koreliav, the Lamites of Malochas were all necessary, not for hakrabas hakrabonis, they were necessary for hakamas hamishkan. So the Gemara learns that the dinim of haitzah from the way they traveled in the midbar, from the hayrua shah of traveling. So you see that the whole hayrua shah of traveling was not a hayrua shah how to travel. It's a hayrua shah how to do hakamas hamishkan. This whole traveling was going to lead up to the hakamas hamishkan in the end. That's what you see from the Gemara. So the Psukim say, when they traveled, there was a special way how to travel. There were four machnois. Each degel, degel machne Ephraim, degel machne Yehuda, degel machne Don, each degel had three shvatim. Nechumash, it only says there were four degolim. I think the Midrashim have that every shevet had its own degel. There were 12 degolim. And Nechumash, that doesn't say. It says there were only four degolim. Each one of the four machnas had a degel. And the whole idea of degolim, of flags, is only Harua Shoah. We don't have any dinim l'deris. Many years ago, around 60 years ago, soon after Hakamas HaMedina, the Aguda had a Knesia HaGdoila in a hotel in Eretz Yisrael. They had a big international conference. Every couple of years they have a Knesia HaGdoila. So the hotel was an Israeli hotel, so they had an Israeli flag on top of the hotel. So the people who came to the convention, some of them felt uncomfortable to be in a hotel that had an Israeli flag. But they felt, what are they going to tell the hotel to take down the Israeli flag? So they couldn't do that. So they came up with a pshara. They should put up an American flag and a French flag and a British flag. They should put up flags from all over the countries where there were delegates who were attending. So most of the delegates were from Eretz Yisrael. Most of the Aguda people were from Eretz. It was in Eretz Yisrael. So the Israeli flag is flying because they have people from Eretz Yisrael. They'll have all the other flags. So the secular press attacked the Aguda at that time. The British flag is still known as a Union Jack. So they wrote in the newspaper, "Ha Union Jack hechshir et achol v'halavan," that the Israeli flag, the blue and white flag, that's puzzle. But if you fly a British flag with it, then the Israeli flag becomes kosher. And they wrote, "The Union Jack was flying on the boats where they sank the ships when the refugees were running away from the Nazis, and the British would let them into Eretz Israel, and they killed them. They shot holes in the boats, and the boats sank." And they sent them back to the crematorium. So the Union Jack is kosher. The Union Jack makes the Israeli flag kosher. So they were writing about how stupid the Aguda is. How could they do such a thing? So soon after that was written up in the newspaper, the Mizrahi always used to have an annual convention in America in the Promenade Hotel. So Rav Soloveitchik was speaking soon after. So everybody was tumbling about the Israeli flags, and he said a few words also. So he said, flags were only Harua Shoah in the Midbar when they were traveling. There's no din l'deris. But he thinks that the Israeli flag, there's a sif in Shulchan Aruch, that the Israeli flag has a place in Halach. What's the sif in Shulchan Aruch? Sif in Shulchan Aruch is from the Sefer Hasidim. It's not from the Gemara. So he said, Rabbi Gamliel made a takana that you have to bury everybody in very cheap tachrichim. Because the expenses of a funeral were so outrageous that people would run away. A relative would die, they would run away, they would leave the body. They didn't want to be metapel in it. So Rabbi Gamliel, Noag, Bizoyim, Biyatzma, the Gemara says, he left instruction. He was the chief rabbi. They should bury him in cheapest tachrichim, a dollar. And he made a takana. Everyone should do the same thing. And that's the practice. Shouldn't spend too much money on the tachrichim. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, bury everybody in plain tachrichim, unless a person was murdered, if a person was killed, and the blood splattered all over his clothing, then you bury him in his clothing. To memoira rachmim. And in heaven they should see everybody's buried with tachrichim, and this poor guy is not, because he was murdered and blood spilled. That you have to bury the blood. Adama yotzim enameis, you have to bury. Some of the damas yotzim enachai. Some of the blood came out while he's still alive. So that blood you're not mechuyev to bury. But the blood that came out after he already died, that taki mechuyev dama yotzim enameis is metameis. He's supposed to bury it. So that's the meaning. We bury the horuk in big deha horuk instead of burying. And Tachrichim, he buried in Big Dehar, Kedel Ora Rachman. So he said the Israeli flag reminds him of the Big Dehar, because years ago, soon after Hakamas HaMedina, there was such a movie that was called Hill 24 Doesn't Answer. So they were showing the way the United Nations, at that time, had gesagt that, okay, there's a war of independence, by a certain date, by a certain time, whatever, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, on a certain date, whatever areas are under Israeli control belong to Medina Israel. Whatever is not under Israeli control belongs to the Arabs. So the Jewish soldiers were fighting with Mesiras Nefesh to put an Israeli flag on top of as many hilltops as possible. So there was the famous movie, the way they show a group of Jewish soldiers put a flag on top of a mountain, and then the Jewish soldier is killed, and his blood spills on the flag that they just put there. So he said the Israeli flag always reminds him of that Sif in Shulchan Aruch, of the big day Haharim, that we want the Rabbanu Shalom should be to be Ma'ara Rachmim in heaven above. Look how many people were killed. Look how many Jewish people lost their lives in order to have a Jewish Medina. That's what he said at that time. So then he was attacked in the Turikarta newspaper. What a ridiculous thing, and it doesn't make any sense. And he's an Apikorus, and when he got married, his grandfather didn't attend the wedding. His grandfather wasn't alive. His grandfather was alive. And his parents didn't attend the wedding. His parents were in America. It wasn't Shaykh. His parents lived in America, and he was in Europe. His parents couldn't attend the wedding. No one attended his wedding. Reb Chaim Moshe attended his wedding. Anyway, so that was his avart. He said about the Degel. He said, the Degel was only Harashah. There's no Din Adars. But the Israeli flag, he thinks there's a Sif in Shulchan Aruch, the big day Haharuk Sif. The very last pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, all of the Moni HaMitzvah, the Rishonim who wrote Sifrei HaMitzvah, do not count the Loya Ba'aliris Kivalas HaKodesh VaMeisu. Then when they were traveling in the Midbar from one location to the other, the Membeis Masois, so the Kohanim had to cover over with special Big Day Tcheles, or Big Day Argoman, cloth coverings for all of the Kelim. So it was improper that the Levim should be standing there, the Levim were going to carry it, but it's improper that the Levim should be present when they were covering over the Kelim. Lo yivol liris kevalas ha-kodesh v'mesu. It's misu v'dei shamayim. It's a bizoyan to be there. So the idea behind the pasuk is that out of respect for Dov HaMekudosh, you should keep your distance a little bit. Let's say if a rabbi is coming out of the mikveh, he's undressed. You shouldn't walk into the mikveh while he's undressed. Leave him to his privacy. There's such a practice that's quoted in Yoredeya, in Hilchas Kvod Talmid HaChachamim from the Yerushalmi, that by a big Talmid HaChacham you don't greet him first, you wait till he greets you. You're supposed to have such moira for a Talmid HaChacham, you should have him greet you first. That's based on a pasuk in Iyov. The Yerushalmi quotes, Ru'unin Ne'orim V'nechba'u. Iyov was such an Adam Mechubot, so when the young people would see him in the street, they would hide, they would sit there, they would be afraid to be in his presence, because he commanded such respect. So that's such a practice. In Yiddish, by the Hasidim, there's such an expression. They don't say, Megeit Geb Shalom to the Rebbe, Megeit Nemen Shalom. That the Rebbe is going to give them Shalom Aleichem, and they're going to answer. So that's the idea behind the pasuk is, to show COVID, you should have a little distance. We have such a din midirabbanon. So Rav Soloveitchik said, called the Tikkun Rabbanon came there. I said, Tikkun, it's patterned after this pasuk. There's a din, you're not allowed to touch the cloth of the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. Out of respect. You shouldn't show that you're so buddy-buddy with the Sefer Torah. Oiche Sefer Torah Orum. So that's how we usually learn Pshat. Oiche Sefer Torah Orum means you hold on to the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. There was a big Eloi, Rabbi Nasha Ilya, lived in the days of the Vilna Gaon. He had a different Pshat. He said, if a person touches the Sefer Torah when he's naked, Not that he touches the Sefer Torah is naked. It means a guy just came out of mikveh and he's tohar and he wants to touch the Sefer Torah, but he didn't put on his clothes yet. That was his original pshat. This Rebbe Menashe Ilya was a malamed tinoikis. So when he used to teach Gemara to the children, he always used to give his own pshatim, not like Rashi, not like Tosfos, not like the Rambam. So they always fired him. They want the children to learn Rashi, Tosfos, and the normal. So the Vilna Gaon always liked his pshatim. And later, years later, when they printed the Vilna Shas with the Rabbeinu Hananel on the side, so they found a lot of his original interpretations appeared in the Rabbeinu Hananel. He didn't know. He was known as an Eloi. Rabbi Nasha Ilya was known as an Eloi. Anyway, so this, so Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that Hoichin Sefer Torah Orum, that you're not allowed to touch the Sefer Torah with your bands, a sign of respect should be to show distance a little bit. That's the theme of this pasuk. Lo yivol liris kevalas hakodesh v'mesu. So the Moni HaMitzvah don't count this in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, and they say that it's only Hayro HaShoah, and it doesn't apply L'doris, because L'doris, you don't wrap up the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not moving anywhere. L'doris, the Beis HaMikdash with the Kelim stay in one location. So the Achrayim, I think the Mishnah Melech has a Sefer Derech Mitzvah Secha on the Minyan HaMitzvah, so he has a taina. How can you say that it's not a din l'doris? The Gemara says in Yuma, Beferish not so. Gemara says that the whole period of the Bai Sheni, the Arim with the Luchas, was not upstairs. It was in the basement, and there was a tile on the floor, a trap door, tile on the floor that was movable. So once they picked it up and they saw that there's a staircase, so Kohen went down the staircase, and then he looked at the Arim with the Luchas, and he died. Based on this pasuk, Lo Yavar Liris Kevalas HaKadosh V'Mesi. You're not allowed to look at the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's Misa B'Dei Shamayim. So the Gemara talks about the period of the Bai Sheni, and the pasuk still applies. So you see, it is a Din L'Doris. It's not just the Heru Ashur. So he tainas, that's the Mishnah Melech's taina, the Moni HaMitzvah should have included it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Yeah. So it's interesting, on this pasuk, the Gemara is bothered with the Kasha. The Gemara says, during the period of the Bais Rishon, when the Oile B'Golem used to come to visit the Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk says, Yireh kol zechurcha. Yireh kol zechurcha. Yireh means they should appear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara darshins on the first daf in Chagig, and the Gemara darshins, Yireh Yireh. Kederach Shebol Yireh is Kach Bol Yireh. He darshins the pasuk as if we come to appear in the presence of the Shechina, and the Shechina comes to look, and we come to look at the Shechina also. Yireh. We come to see the Shechina. How can you see the Shechina? The Ribbono Shel Olam is invisible. So that's what Rav Shlomo Levilna says. They had the practice, it says, to pick up the Shulchan and to show them the Lechem upon him and to squeeze it to show that it's fresh, that it didn't become stale. They baked the Lechem upon him on Friday and it sat on the Shulchan for a whole week, so it should be hard as a rock at the end of the week. So the Pasuk says in Navi that a miracle occurred. Lechem Cham Ki Yom Hilokchoi. A week later, it was still warm, like when they first took it out from the oven. It was freshly baked the whole week. So they used to pick up the shulchan and squeeze the lechem upon him, show all the other regalim. Then it says, by Srishim, when the Orim with the luchas, with the kruvim, was still in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so there was a wall. There was an amah traksin. There was a wall that was an amah thick, like these walls. But there was a window in the wall that had a curtain. So they used to remove the curtain and show everyone the Kruvim, show the other regalim, the Kruvim hugging each other, and represents the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Bnei Yisrael. The Kruvim one was baby faces of a boy and a girl, the young children. So the baby face of the boy represents the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the baby face of the girl represents Bnei Yisrael, and the Kruvim were Mu'urim Zemzeh, were hugging each other. Ruchi Baschem Lefnei Amokim. So the Gemara asks in Yuma, Dafnun Beis, how are they allowed to show them the Kruvim? Says the guy who walked out into the basement through the trap door, he died because of Misa B'Dei Shamayim. So how can they show the Kruvim on the Sholosh Regalim? So the Gemara answers, no. Bizman that the Oren is Bimkomo, then it's Mutter to look. Bizman when the Oren is Shalom Bimkomo, here they took down the whole Mishkan. They took apart the whole Beis HaMikdash here. So when the Mishkan is traveling, the Oren is not Bimkomo, then there's an Issa, lo yavar liris kevalas hakadosh. Whenever the Yoron is b'mkomo, then it's mutter to look. And then the Gemara gives a mashal, there in Yuma, daf nun beis, how do you understand it? It's like a chas and kala who are married. So first you have erisin, then you have nisun. So you have erisin is kiddushin. Chas and gives a ring, says, hariat mekudeshesli, but the girl is still living with her parents, she's not living with her husband. After you do nisun, then she's muteris lebaila. Calls man, it's arusa, she's asura lebaila. So the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Israel is like a marriage. That's how it's described in Shir HaShirim and other places in Tanakh. So sometimes it's hot and sometimes it's cool. So when the Oren is Bimkomo, then it's considered like Nisuin. So like Nisuin, the husband and the wife are living together, so of course they're looking at each other. But when it's the Oren is Shalom Bimkomo, then the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Israel is like Erisin. So the chosin is not supposed to be with the kala, so they're not even supposed to. She's not even supposed to look at the kala. They're not even supposed to look at each other. That's how the Gemara says. So the Gemara comments on this pasuk. Since the mishkan is taken apart and the Oren is shalom b'mkomo, so it's the relationship is one like erisin, and when the Oren will be b'mkomo, then it'll be a relationship like nisut. So the Mishnah Melech has a sefer drush that's called Parashas Drachim. So in one of his drashas, he talks about this relationship. So he says, in the Haftorah of Parshas Bamidbar, there's a pasuk, there's always a connection between, it's supposed to be, the Haftorah is supposed to be Me'inyan Adiyah. The Haftorah is supposed to be a theme from the Navi that appears in the Parsha. So what is the theme over here? So that a lot of times there's a superficial relationship and then there's a deeper relationship. Over here, Bamidbar starts with taking a census of Bnei Yisrael. And Haftarah begins, V'ayim mispa b'nei yisrael k'cholar ma'ashallah yimad v'la yisofer. The Jewish people, there'll be so many Jews, won't be able to count it, won't be able to take a census. So al pi pashtus, that's the whole connection between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Haftarah. That's the inyan of the yom. So the Mishlei Melech points out there's another connection. The Pasuk says in the middle of the Haftarah that the day will come, V'haya b'yam ahu lasi lova nu'um Hashem tikri i'ishi v'la tikri li'od ba'ali. So he says the interpretation of the Pasuk means, you'll call me, it'll only be Nisuin. It won't be Erisin anymore. Until Lasid Lava, it goes back and forth, sometimes Erisin, sometimes Nisuin. Lasid Lava, Vahay, Yamahu, Tikri Ishi, it'll only be Nisuin, it'll no longer be Erisin. So according to the Mishlei Melech, that's another connection between the last Pasuk in the Parsha and the Haftarah. A lot of times you have it like that. There's an obvious connection, like in Parsha's Baha'aloyscha. Baloischa is Haneira starts off with Menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, and then Haftarah is about the Menorah in the Beis Sheni. The Navi Zechariah has a Chalayim about the Menorah, but if you look into it, it's a deeper connection between the Haftarah and the Parsha. That in the Parsha you have that Miriam said Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe Rabbeinu. Miriam and Aharon, who does he think he is? That he's Pirish men of Isha, Harakach Moshe Dibra Hashem, Halo Gabbana Dibir. We're also Nevi'im, we didn't have to get divorced. Moshe Rabbeinu is such a Balgaive. What's wrong with him? So the Rambam writes a Yun Gimel Ikori Hamuna. So the Rambam says, we believe in prophecy. We believe Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNevi'im, highest level of a prophet. And he gives you the four differences between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other prophets. So the Gemara has that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Bas Beklori HaMe'ira, and the other is Bas Beklori Sheinim Me'ira. So the Rambam gives you as a mashal, where do you see in a Novi as Beklori Sheinim Me'ira? He picks the Haftorah Bahaloischa. The Novi gets a Mara HaNevuah, and he says, Mo Eladar, he has the Malach HaDoivabo. What is it supposed to represent? He says, Haloya Daita. He says, no, I don't understand. Back and forth till he finally explains to him what the Mara HaNevuah represents. So he says, that's because it was someone other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah Bas Beklori HaMe'ira, he understood right away. So according to the Rambam, the connection between the Haftarah Bahaloischa and the Parsha is not only because Menorah and Menorah. No, it's more than that. A major theme, the theme of Parsha's Bahaloischa is this Iker and Amunah, that Nevuah is Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Loi Kein Abdi Moshe, B'chol Moshe Rabbeinu is a higher level of Nevuah. So that Iker and Amunah is elaborated upon. The Rambam and the Mor Devuchim quotes this Haftarah to show that the other Nevi'im had Aspek Lori Sheinim Me'ira. A lot of times they didn't understand the Nevuah. They needed the Malach to spell out what the Nevuah means. Moshe Rabbeinu understood the Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu got direct dictation. He didn't get a Mara Chazon, a Chalom, and he had to interpret. He got direct dictation, so it was totally different. There are a lot of Haftarahs like that, that there's a superficial connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah. And then if you look in the Midrashim and the Yalkut Shemoni, you find a deeper connection between the two, something more substantive, not just something superficial. The Pasha Pshat and the Parsha, you have the taking a census of all of those Mben Esam Shalom Malakol Yetzei Tzava, whoever's drafted into the army. Rashi says, Mikan, you see that you don't draft someone younger than the age of 20. Magid Sheni Yotze Batzova, Pachas Mimeresim, and Eretz Yisrael, they do draft younger than 20. According to Rashi, it's against the Halacha. The Rambam never quotes that Halacha, they're not sure why. The Rambam never writes that din, that you don't draft younger than 20. We know that the brain starts developing, so the brain reaches the largest size by a girl approximately at the age of 12, and by a boy approximately the age of 13. And then it gets a little smaller until the age of 20, and the brain develops fully. That's why the Bezen Shal Milo only punishes a girl or a boy from the age of 12 or 13. Bezen Shal Milo only punishes me ben Esrim and Milo, because the full maturity, the personality is really fixed at the age of 20. Probably not going to change after 20. And between the age of 12 and 13 and 20, that's when it fully is developed. So to drift into the army, you want to have a person who's more mature. So the cutoff point, that's 20. So they only took a census of those who could be drafted into the army, Beres Mishon of Amola, and they didn't take a census of Shevet Levi. So the Pashto says, like the Rambam writes, the Rambam has a famous halach at the end of Hilchas Shmita of Yovel, that your whole Shevet Levi was not drafted into the army, they're supposed to be sitting and learning. Yorimish Patecha Liyankim Vesay Raschal Liyisrael. You don't draft the yeshiva bachim into the army. Yeah. Most of the Rishonim do not, it's a machlokes hatanoim. Most do not agree with that Rambam. If you look at Rashi on Parshas Bamidbar, Rashi quotes a few reasons why Shevet Levi was not included in the census. According to the Rambam, it's simple why. They were not drafted into the army. So the census only called Yotzei Tzavah B'Yisrael. Rashi doesn't say that. He says that one reason, another reason, all the different reasons. He beats around the bush. Obviously, Rashi thinks Shevet Levi was drafted. The issue comes up in Parshas Matos. Nikom Nikmas Hashem Eiz B'nei Sohachar to Yosef Alamecho Melchemes Midyon. So they had to put together an army. Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata. Shnei Moser Elef Chalutzei Tzavah. They each Shevet had to give 1,000 soldiers. The Sachar Kol, there were 12,000. So the Sifrei quotes a Machleg Zatayim. How come there are only 12,000? There should have been 13,000. Shevet Levi and Yosef was two Shvatim, Menashe Ephraim. So there should have been 13,000. So the Rambam's answer, the Rambam follows the Tana that Shevet Levi didn't give 1,000 soldiers. Menashe gave 1,000, Ephraim gave 1,000. Shevet Levi is not drafted into the army. And the other Rishonim follow the other opinion in the Sifrei. No, Shevet Levi gave 1,000. Menashe Ephraim is one Shevet. Menashe Ephraim together gave 1,000. Not each one should give 1,000. So that's a fundamental machlokes. There's even a machlokes, if you assume not like the Rambam. Rambam holds the whole Shevet Levi is not drafted into the army. If you assume not like the Rambam Shevet Levi is, what about Kohanim? Are Kohanim drafted into the army? So Reb Shlomo Levilna wrote a Sefer Binyan Shlomo, and he has a table of contents on the first page, and then he has all of the essays. So he has one essay which he deleted. He has it listed in the table of contents what he wrote. He says, my brother told me to leave it out because it's ridiculous. His older brother was Reb Tzalo Vilna. He was the super genius. Reb Shlomo Levilna was a plain genius. Reb Tzalo Vilna was the super genius. So he writes, he had a whole essay that since Kohanim are not allowed to be Metamil and Mesim, so you can't draft them into the army. An army is to shoot, to kill, you're going to have dead bodies, so you can't be Metamil and Mesim. So since Kohanim are not drafted into the army, so the Mele, they're not Mechuyiv in Parsha Zohar. Because the Chinuch writes that women are not Mechuyiv in Parsha Zohar, because women are not drafted into the army. The only Mechuyiv in Parsha Zohar, if you're going to be drafted into the army, you have to know, you have to wage war against Amalek. So if Kohanim are not drafted into the army, so they, like women, they're not chayv in Parsha Zohar. So if the Kohen is the Balkari, he can't be Moitzi the Tzibu with Parsha Zohar, because Mishenim B'chuyi B'dovrei, and Moitzi HaSachar Medechai Vos. So he writes in the table of contents, my brother told me to leave it out. So he doesn't say why his brother told him to leave it out. Because you do draft Kohanim in the army. Or because even though you don't draft them, they are chayv in Parsha Zohar. Or women are also chayv in Parsha Zohar. He doesn't explain what's wrong. But he writes in three lines what he wrote, and his brother told him to leave it out. Yeah. That was an issue during the First World War. In Britain, the government was drafting people into the army. So the Kohanim said, you can't draft us, it's against our religion. We're not allowed to be Metamei Lameis. So the chief rabbi at that time was Rabbi Nathan Adler. I think he learned the same time as Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch by the Orech Laner. I think he also had smicha from the Orech Laner, the same time. It was a Yekesh Talmud Chacham. So that he had to take a stand on it. So he said, La'alocha, you do draft Kohanim into the army. Because there's a Mordechai like that. The Gemara in the first parak in Kiddushin discusses a little bit the dinim of Yefastoyer. So the Gemara has a shayla. Yefastoyer is a shayla of intermarriage. A Jewish soldier falls in love with a Nachris. So the Torah tells you how to deal with it. Geriz Balkarcha, not Birishayna, it's an issue. What the din is. We learned a little bit in Yevamis, it's mainly in Kiddush. So the Gemara has a Shaila, what if the soldier who fell in love with the Nachris is a Kohen? So not only is a Shaila of Nachris, a Shaila of Zayna LeKohen. A Kohen who marries a Gioris is an Issa Zayna LeKohen. So the special heter of Yifastar, LeDibra Tel Keneged Yetzahar, the special heter of Yifastar, does it even apply to a soldier who's a Kohen, who falls in love with this Rishavisa Shivya, or does it only apply to Yisrael? The Gemara says, yes, it does apply even to a Kohen. And a Machlaik is the details, Rabbi Shmuel, be Rishayna, be Yashniya, how much is Mutter? So the Mordechai asks, how does a Kohen come in the army? A Kohen is not allowed to be Metamil and Mason. So you see from the Gemara that you do draft Kohanim in the army. So you see, not only do you draft Shevet Levi, we assume you even draft Kohanim into the army. We don't accept this whole Rambam. This is a famous Rambam, and all the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows that Rambam. They all quote that the Kohanim, that Shevet Levi is not drafted into the army, And then the Rambam says, whoever wants to volunteer to become an honorary member of Shevi Levi, to sit and learn all day and all night, also not drafted into the army.
Is there a difference between Mitzvah and Chazanish?
I don't think so. The Chazanish talks in the Sefer, the end of the first parak in Erevin, when the Mishnah talks about Abba Dvarim Patro B'machaneh, the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Erevin, the Bavli, but the Rishonim have a little bit about army. The Gemara has more about army in Perek Mashuch Machama in Saita, but the Chazanish doesn't have on Saita. So at the end of the first Perek in Erevin, he has in his Sefer. So he has a discussion. So he says, look, if you have a Melchemes Mitzvah and you need every man, so you draft everybody, take the Chasim Mechupasai, also you take everybody. We're talking if you have a war and you don't need every single person. So then there are certain Pturim, then you exempt certain people from the draft. In the Mohammed HaShechur in 1948, they had little children fighting before Bar Mitzvah. And everybody, they need every able body. Had to help out in the war effort at that time.
Was only by, wasn't that only by the coin called out?
Only by Mohammed HaRashus, yeah. By Mohammed's Mitzvah, the no Pturim, right? That's how the Gemara says, right? By Mohammed's Mitzvah, the no, the Chayzer Meyachah Mohammed don't apply. Yeah. The pasuk in the beginning of the parsha says, "L'mishpachosim leveis habosim." The census had to be taken. You want to know how many people are there from Shevet Zvulun? How many people are there from Shevet Binyamin? From Shevet Yisachar? So, what if you have a mixed marriage, the mother and the father from two different shvatim? So, the pasuk determines, "L'mishpachosim leveis habosim." So, the Gemara has the comment, "Mishpachas avkriyim mishpacha, mishpachas emenikriyim mishpacha." You only go by the father's side. You ignore the mother's side, you only follow the father's side. So this is the rule that applies when you have a mixed marriage where both parents are Jewish. You determine whether the child is a Kohen or a Levi or a B'Shevet Zvulun or a Shevet Yisachar based on the father, not the mother. Or if you have a mixed marriage where both parents are not Jewish, you want to establish what is the status of the child. One of the parents is an Amaleki, one of the parents is an Amoni Mayovi, Mitzvi Vedoimi, Zayin Umas. So how do you establish? So the Gemara says, Be'umas, when they're intermarried by non-Jews, Aloy Chachar HaZochar. Also, so the Rishonim say, is based on the Mishpachosim, Leveis HaVosim. The Gemara never says it. The Gemara says, Be'umas, Aloy Chachar HaZochar. But the Rishonim say, it's based on this post. But when you have, we learned Yevamos, at the end of the first parak in Yevamos, so we saw, Tosfos said, when you have a mixed marriage, where one parent is Jewish, one parent is not Jewish, so Tosfos said, there were three opinions in the Tanoim. So one opinion is that in order for the children to be Jewish, you require that both parents should be Jewish. The other opinion is that either parent, either the father or the mother, that's how the Reform followed that opinion, that was outvoted over 2,000 years ago by the Tanaim. And the third opinion is what it says in the Mishnah, it all depends on the mother. So the question begs itself, there should have been a fourth opinion, that it all depends on the father. So the din would be the same. If you have a mixed marriage where both parents are Jewish, it depends on the father. If you have a mixed marriage where both parents are not Jewish, it depends on the father. If you have a mixed marriage where one parent is Jewish, one parent is not Jewish, it should also depend on the father. There never was such an opinion. There never was. Why not? That should be the most seichodike opinion. It should depend on the father. So that's what we explain when we learned the Tosfos at the end of the first paragraph of the Imam. We explain, being Jewish cannot be a function of which mishpacha you belong to. We have an institution of geirus. A gershon is geir. He's not related to a kikotin shenol adam. He's not related to a soul in the world. Not related to anybody. And still he's Jewish. So you can't say that Jewishness is a function of being mishpachas hayehudim. He's not mishpachas hayehudim. He converted. Mishpacha means a blood relative. So you see that Klal Yisrael is a goy, is a nation. Being Jewish means, do you belong to, are you a member of this nation? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, beginning of Lech Lecha, all the other nations of the world are not really nations. They're mishpachas. So that's a question. If you have a mixed marriage, which mishpacha do the children belong to? The mishpachas avkriyim mishpacha, mishpachas emenikriyim mishpacha. The Jewish people is the only one that's a goy. Goy, miloshin givya, a body. Nasati gevi la makim. Their Adak writes in his michlol, in his dictionary on Tanakh, that the word goy comes from the word giviyah, that all of the people together are considered one body. Kol Yisrael Arev Mizab said, that's only by the Jews. By the Nochem, there is no such thing. The Gemara says beferish like that. Everybody quotes it from the Maral Niprat, but it's a Gemara in the end of Nozir. in Perek HaKusim, the very end of Masechus Nozim, Mor says there's no concept of a tzibur by the Umas Oilu. A tzibur means everybody together is one body. By the Goyim, there is no such thing. Each person is an individual. By the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, V'eschol Goy Godol. That's what we say in the Pasuk, in Navi, Mikam Chiso Goy Echad Boris. We are the only Goy. When we say the Baruch in the morning, Shaloy Asani Goy, that's really a Yiddishism. We say, in Yiddish, we call a non-Jew a Goy. It's really, we're the only one who's a Goy. That's why many were of the opinion that you shouldn't say Shaloy Asani Goy. You say Shaloy Asani Nochri. I wasn't there. They say Rab Soloveitchik used to say that. Shaloy Asani Nochri. They say the Chafetz Chaim also. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't even talk about it. But in the other Svarim, they write that the Chafetz Chaim used to say Shaloy Asani Nochri. It didn't say Shaloy Asani Goy. Because of this taina that Avodrama assumes that all the psukim and all the brachas and all the tefillos are supposed to be in the biblical Hebrew. In the biblical Hebrew, we're the only goy. How can you say shalos ani goy? That's a Yiddishism. That's a slang expression. So that's what we suggested. That mishpachosim levei sabosim mishpacha sabkuri mishpacha mishpacha same enikuri mishpacha. That's when you have a mixed marriage and both parents are Jewish. You want to know is the child Mishpachas Kuhunim, Mishpachas Leviya, Mishpachas Yisachar, that's a function of Mishpacha. You have a mixed marriage and both parents are non-Jewish, so that's Mishpacha Yisro Adama. Which Mishpacha does he belong to? When you have a mixed marriage and one parent is Jewish, one is not, you're determining whether the child is Jewish. Jewishness is not a function of Mishpacha. Not that you belong to the Mishpacha of the Jews. A Gershon is guy doesn't belong to any Mishpacha. He's not a blood relative of anybody. Once you accept Gerim, so you have to say that the definition of a Jew is one who belongs to the Jewish nation. That's what she said when Rusa Ma'avia converted. So she said, Amechami velakayach alakoy. She's joining the Jewish nation. And we learned the Gemara in Yevamos has. When the ger is bothered his gayer, so the Bezna has to warn him, you know that the Jewish people suffer anti-Semitism, you're going to be suffering also. You have to join the Jewish people. It's not sufficient. That's lachar what you see from the Gemara. Let's say a non-Jew wants to convert, they want to become Jewish, they want to join the Mosaic faith, but they want to remain members of their original nationality. They want to remain members of the German nation, members of the French nation. So there was an incident years ago when Rabbi Gorin was the chief rabbi. So he said, we can't accept such a convert. The Pashto says that he is right. You can't accept a convert who wants just to accept the religion and doesn't want to become a member of Klal Yisrael. You have to have both. Now in Eretz Yisrael, there are Rabbanim who are draying. As long as you want to become part of the Jewish nation, even if you don't accept Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. That's also hagwash. There is no such thing. The Sfida Yesh has a tshuva about that. He says that that's ridiculous. You have to have both. You have to want to join the Jewish nation and want to accept upon yourself Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. You just want to join the nation. You want to join the Israeli army. You want to be Jewish. You want to be an Israeli. But you don't want to keep any mitzvahs. You want to be an Israeli like a secular Jew. That's not called Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs means you're prepared to accept the observance of the mitzvahs.
But the other way we have it too. If you say like that, that would mean everybody has to be an Israeli today. Because there's a Jewish nation, a sovereign Jewish nation. So you can't be an American citizen unless you have dual nationality. In other words,
we live in America, we pay taxes, that's all.
You have an American, you have an American passport.
No, there is no American nation. No, the America, there is no, you have Koreans and you have Japanese and you have people born in America. It's a collection of people. Nah, there's no American nation. The Indians are American nation.
The blood.
The nation. That's not a nation. You have in this sedra when HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to take the census of the Kohanim, so it says, Ela told us Moshe v'Aaron b'Yom Dibra Hashem on Moshe b'Har Sinai Leimar, and then it doesn't give the toldos of Moshe Rabbeinu, only gives the toldos of Aharon. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin that because Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to the children of Aharon, Kol Amalam is Ben Chaver Torah, Malala Bakasu Kili Yelodo. So it gives the generations, the children, and the descendants of Aaron. So because Moshe Rabbeinu taught them, so that's why it says Ela told us Moshe v'Aharon. So this is significant halacha l'maisa. The Gemara has a din that Ben Azai didn't want to get married. So the Rambam quotes a din, if a person is nafshka, choshka b'tayra, and he feels that marriage is not for him, so he's not b'chayiv to get married. What kind of business is that? And if a guy wants to sit and learn and he says, Shaking a lulav is not for me. Davening mincha marav is not for me. Once you sit and learn. So he told me you're not allowed to. You have to get married and raise a family, whether you like it or you don't like it. What kind of a teretz is that? Nafshe choshka b'tera. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that nafshe choshka b'tera is not enough. It means because Banazar was malamed Torah to others. Malamed ben chaver Torah. Malav akosik kili yilod. It said there's a partial kima mitzvah piruvirivya already. Not Banazar sat and he learned in the kol. He was teaching Torah. Malamed Torah lacherim. So one who teaches Torah lacherim is already partially yotzei the mitzvah. That's what the Chafetz Chaim and many posts come and you look on the first page in Ebenezer. Page Aleph Amun Aleph. So on the bottom of the page they write like that. What if a couple can't have any children so they should adopt? And raising children, Malam is Ben Chaver Torah, is a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Chafetz Chaim has it in a few places. The Stipler writes it like that. Others write like that. Chafetz Chaim writes it on the Pasuk, Ko'amar Hashem Lasarisim, Asheyishmeru Ishapsa Sai Bochuru Basher Chafotzti, Omachazikim Bivri Si. That's the Pasuk in the Haftorah on the Tainet Tzibur. Dirush Hashem Behimotzai. So the Pasuk says, those who can't have any children, what should they do? They should do specifically three things. And the third one is, machazikim bivrisi. So he translates it, the Chafetz Chaim translates it, they should support yeshivas. They should support yeshivas. Even if they're not raising a yosim, even if they didn't adopt. Let's say a single guy never got married. And he's earning a lot of money, so he should give his money to support learning in the yeshivas. That's a partial ki ma mitzvah. Of the mitzvah of Piri Reviv.
Nobody says that not getting married is okay. I mean,
for a normal person, you should get married.
But
Ben Azza,
there's not many people like that.
Right. So Ben Azza, and Rav Soloveitchik get it. He was teaching Torah in public, he was Malamed. He was Malamed Torah Lacherim, so he had a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah. So we say for him, we'll leave it like that. He's like a Saris. Like Sarisim can't fulfill the mitzvah Bishleim Musa. So let him fulfill Shalom Bishleim Musan. There is this strange tshuva in the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi raised a sofek. The Behetiv quotes it. If a person creates a goylom, can the goylom be mitzurif to a minion? What's the shaila? Why should the goy? You have to be Jewish? Because kolam lamed is ben chaver Torah, malala kasu kili yolodai. So since I created the goylom, so that's more than malamed ben chaver Torah. I created him. Lamed is ben chaver Torah means I raised him. I adopted him, I raised him. This is more than adopting and raising. Oh, so that's what the Chazon Ish is. Masik is not a human being. In order to be mitzurf to minyan, you have to be Jewish. In order to be Jewish, you have to be a human being. So the Chazon Ish says, you see from the Gemara, says in Sanhedrin, Rava bara gavra, Rava made a golem, and then he realized the golem can't speak, so he killed the golem. So he says, how are you allowed to kill a golem? You're not allowed to kill a nachri either. So Teretz says, he's not even a nachri, he's not even a human being, and golem is bechlal not a human being. Of course, not mitzurf to a minyan. But even the Chacham Tzvi, the whole thing is so strange. What do you mean? If I adopt a non-Jewish child, you don't have to convert the child. The child becomes Jewish just because Mlaman is ben chaver Torah, malala kasu kili yilod. Of course you have to convert the child. And a Kohen adopts a baby, so the baby becomes a Kohen. Kili yilod, of course not. Kili yilod is benegeir to the din, a pira v'rivya. Not benegeir to that. I remember seeing many years ago, the Chidor has many different svarim. So one of his svarim, he writes, however, he quotes from earlier, Achranim, however you put on the tefillin, that's how you should take them off. So by the Mekubolim, by the Svardim, they put on the Shal Yad sitting and the Shal Rosh standing, all based on Kabbalah. And the Mishkan and Yankev is a whole interpretation that's not what it says in the Zohar. He gives a different interpretation. So the Chidor writes, based on the Loshen HaPosek, however you put on the tefillin, that's how you should take off the tefillin. So if you put everything on b'amida, you should take everything off b'amida. If you put on the shalyad b'yeshiva, then you should take it off yeshiva. Is that the practice? Kashayachnu ken yiso. The Gemara points out, Rashi quotes in Achumish, that they had to count up how many bechorim there are and how many levim there are. There were 273 more Bechorim than there were Levim, so they had to give Pidyon HaBen money to Aaron Abonav. They had to pay. How do you determine which 273 are the lucky winners? So they had a lottery. So whoever lost in the lottery had to do Pidyon. Whoever won lost, however you view it. So they had to pay the five shkolim each one. Why doesn't it say they had to count up how many seyim, how many sheep the Levim had, and how many pitre chamorim the Bnei Israel had. So it would appear that se echad poita kama pitre chamorim. That's what Rashi quotes on Chumash. He quotes that from the Gemara in Bchoris in the first parak. So this was Ohayra Shah, once in the history of the world. So the Gemara says, no, we learn out of Din Ladaris from this Ohayra Shah that it applies Bizman as that also. If he used the seh to do pidyon peter hamor, and somehow he's supposed to give it away to the kohen, but if somehow it was a suffix pidyon peter hamor and you keep it, then you can use the same seh to be paid a second time as well. So that's a problem. There is a gemara in the first parak in Bav Metzia, but the gemara talks about a farmer has 10 suffix pitre hamor. So let him take 10 seyim and be paid to each one of them. And everything is his. He doesn't have to give it away because Safik Pidyon Peter Hamor, you just have to do the Pidyon to remove the Safik Iser, but there's no Din of Din Imam. It's Amotz and Mechaber Olivarai. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. Why does the Gemara say the farmer should use 10 Seyin to be paid the 10 Safik Pidyon Hamor? He can use the same Seh. He paid it once and a second time and a third time and a fourth time. The Gemara says he can be Chayzer a paid it with the same Seh because you keep it. So Tosis has Akasha. They don't have the Teret. I remember many years ago there used to be a big goyin in Borough Park, Rabbi Kersner. I think he had a degree from some university in London in mathematics. He was an expert in mathematics. So they invited him to be the Rosh Hashiva in Panevej if he'll keep a secret that he has a degree. So he didn't agree. He said, you can't keep it a secret. So he was a big goyin. So he once told me a teretz on Tosis Kasha, why can't you use the same seh 10 times? He says, if you use it once, it'll be a 50-50 suffix, but you have to give it to the kohen. So Amotz Mechorel of Harai, you can keep it. If you use it a second time, it'll be 75-25. So Ein Holchem Amam Anacharav, you don't have to give it. If you use it a third time, it'll won't be 75-25. It'll be 75 plus 12 and a half. 85, 87 and a half. If you use it a fourth time, it'll be, you keep on going. By the time you use it a tenth time, it'll be more than 99% certain that it belongs to the Kohanim. Then you will have to give it to the Kohen. Because Rabbi Kivega writes in the Tshuva Stinyana, Enochem Amam Anachar Rav means a plain Rav, but if you have a very strong Rav, then you are Moitzi Mam. So he said, that's the Teretz on Tosis Kash. Okay, you got a Dab Mincha. Lineta, tomorrow I'd like to do a little bit Parshas Nasa.